made clean. And Jesus said, I am willing. Jesus says to you, I am willing. I am willing, says God. Don't be afraid. During worship, I had a picture of the triumphal entry when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you not think that he felt the fear? He did. He was fully human, fully divine. So all of the things of the flesh, he felt. He felt and he knew what he was about to face. He knew what laid ahead of him, but he knew, because it's written in the book of Isaiah, that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased his Father. That's a tough saying sometimes, but sometimes things have to happen. I don't know why, and I'm not going to try to explain it. But what I do know is we don't have to be afraid. We do not have to be afraid of anything that we face. Anything. We do not have to be afraid for our kids. We don't have to be afraid for our family. We don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen to us in our body. Because praise the Lord, no matter what happens to us, we're either here or we're there. There is no dead end for us. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Amen? We win. We win. Can you say that? We win. Say it again. We win. Lord, I just thank you, God. I just pray, God, I just pray strength over this house. I just pray, God, that every person in here today would know that they've encountered the Holy Ghost. Oh, he's here. He is so here. So, God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, God, that you never stop. I thank you, God, that you are willing. You are willing. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Shake somebody's hand. Tell them they're awesome.
You're awesome.
So are you. So as you probably noticed, my husband is not here. He's down with our daughter, our middle daughter. She's receiving an award from Temple University today, and he's down there with her. But he wanted to let you guys know that he loves you and he misses being here, and I know that he does. So we miss you too, if you're ever watching it, wherever you are. Brother Tim's going to bring the message today, and I know he's had some good stuff, that he's not going to the Philippines, but I know that God gave him some good stuff that he's going to bring to us today.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm going to pray for him. God, I just thank you, Lord, for Tim. I thank you, God, for his heart. God, and I pray, Lord, that you open our hearts today to receive the word. God, I just prophesy desire over this house. That's what's in my spirit. That desire is coming. Desire is being imparted today. So God, I thank you for that. I thank you, God, for dropping those seeds in our hearts, God, that's going to ignite a mighty fire in us, Lord, to follow after you with everything that we have. So I bless Tim, God, to bring the word of God with power, with anointing, God. And I just bless the rest of this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, that's pretty good. You guys are all woke up. All right. Unlike Pastor Don, who has been doing the fill in the blanks the last couple of weeks, you have one big blank, so you can fill it in how you want. And that's for two reasons. I typically don't follow fill in the blanks very well, so it doesn't work out. And two, the word that I have today is, I think it's a good word, but it's simple enough that you should be able to just plant it in here and be fine. So I'm going to start in the book of Ephesians. And this is a side note. If you ever, I hope you all are in your word daily, but the book of Ephesians is a great book. There's just lots of good stuff in there. So read the book of Ephesians. But I'm going to start in chapter 4. I'm just going to read verse 1 through maybe 5 or so. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all allowance for gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the true unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Therefore, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope and your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's a lot of you alls in there. But the point is, and Pastor Sherry, in her opening prayer, alluded to this. We are called. And it's saying, walk worthy of your calling. And bear with one another, allowing for one another's faults, basically, and you will have suffering. But you're to keep that unity together. Pastor Don, in the last couple of weeks, has been talking about our destiny and our purpose and our calling. So this message is just a little continuation of that. These are some thoughts and a little bit of my own walk the past month or so. But it's just stuff that God plants in you. And then when Pastor Sherry said, do you want to preach? It's like, well, yeah, because I always have something. And I think it's a good word for now. So we're going to go through this and hopefully God will drop something into your hearts that applies today. Are there any hunters in the room? Oh, Denny came in. Thank you, Denny. I've got to have at least one.
Like a new shirt?
Well, maybe. That may benefit, because we're going to talk about staying on the path. And I know if you go into Kohl's, there is no path. But there are markers that say ladies wear and men's wear and so on. So this may apply. Patty, can you turn the solar eclipse down just a little? But if you're a hunter... Oh, thank you. Felt like I was getting a suntan. If you're a hunter, you go out in the woods. One, you know where you're going, or you have a path to follow, if you're a smart hunter. Now, if you're not so smart, and I did this once, you go out into the woods, you think you know where you're going, and you have a path, but you say, you know, if I go down this way, I can get there a shorter way. That usually doesn't work out. Sometimes you get off the path, and then you realize, this is not where I wanted to be. And sometimes you can find your way back to the path. Sometimes you can retrace your steps. You know, maybe you end up in menswear instead of ladieswear, Sherry, and you need to retrace your steps on that path. But we need to, but along the path, there are usually markers or landmarks or something that you cling to keep you on the path. I know if you walk some of the trails up Pine Creek, they have markers on the trees, blazes. Follow the yellow trail and you're going to stay with these blazes. So along our path and our Christian walk is the same way. There are markers along the trail if we follow them. But we can also get off track at times when we decide we don't want to go that way. So I'm going to talk about how do we walk worthy and stay on that path that God has laid out for us, our destiny, as Pastor Don's been talking. So I'm going to read a couple of scripture. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way which seems right to man, but its end leads to death. And in Matthew chapter 7:13-14, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, if you put those two verses together and pair it with staying on a path and following the markers, sometimes the easiest path seems the right one. But it's not always the right one. Sometimes that's the path that leads us to destruction or out of our walk or out of our destiny sometimes. And then in Matthew it says, the narrow, the wide way, the easy way is no good. So Matthew actually warns us that if the path is too easy, it may not be the right path. Sometimes I think in life we take the easy path because it's easy. I'm with that. Sometimes it's just nice just to cruise along and not have anything go wrong. But what I find is along the way, that easy path, then I realize that easy path is taking me away from where I want to go. Away from the Lord, away from my calling, away from what I should be doing. So the harder path, the one with suffering, the one with some trials, is usually the better path. But we don't like to hear that, do we? I don't have any videos, but I have a story I'm going to share that hopefully will get you going here a little bit. Anybody watch reality TV? Some of the shows are really stupid. Most of them, actually. But Chris and I have been watching one called The Curse of Oak Island. You like that one? Then you'll know some of these facts. This is an interesting show. The short version is The Curse of Oak Island is an island. I think it's off the coast of Newfoundland or somewhere up there. Nova Scotia, thank you. And for hundreds of years, since the 1700s, supposedly the Knights Templar and all these people took this big vast treasure and buried it in the ground on Oak Island. Dug these big underground vaults and booby-trapped them in the whole nine yards. And for hundreds of years, people have been trying to find this vast treasure. Now, the TV show has a couple of brothers named Rick and Marty, and then a couple other guys. One of them, the main guy, is Dan. The summary of this is these guys all got involved in looking for this treasure, Dan about 50 years ago, and then the brothers more recently. But they spent years looking for this treasure, millions of dollars. I think six men have died up to this point over the years. And you know what they found of value? Nothing. I think they found one gold coin maybe a couple of seasons ago. I don't know. A couple of the quotes you can look on there on Google. You know, you can find all about these guys. Rick and Marty. I'll tell you a little bit about Rick. One of Rick's favorite saying is, when you believe in something, you never give up. Once in, forever in. His brother Marty is a science guy. He's skeptical, but he's in because his brother's in. Dan is the interesting one. Dan is now in his 90s. He's spent the last 49 years of his life looking for this treasure. He actually moved to the island and lives on the island. His deal is, I've spent an untold fortune. It's way too late to turn back. Now, there's a couple of good points about these guys. I will give them credit for this. They are a team. They're united. They're working together for a common goal. But is it a path that leads to destruction? They've spent years and have found nothing so far. They have a fundamental belief, though, that they're going to find something of value, some great treasure. So what? If they do, so what? So I would challenge that if we are walking a path and it seems right, it may be the wrong path. One last note on them. They have the bio on Google, and under religious beliefs, zero, no comment. I don't know what they believe or don't believe, but they didn't comment on it. So I would say that their path doesn't involve God. Or if they don't have any beliefs, it distracts them from that. So sometimes everything can seem right. And to them, in their mind, it probably seems like a great thing. But it could also be the path leading to destruction. And I think we need to keep that in mind in our walks. Sometimes that path that we're on, everything may seem right, but it may lead ultimately to our destruction or a problem. Sometimes I look at that. I was supposed to go to the Philippines in a couple of weeks. And I think I was acting a little bit like the Oak Island folks. I was focused and driven and committed to going to the Philippines. And I was ignoring all of the signs that said you shouldn't go. So sometimes we get a little focused, a little tunnel visioned, and that's not always a good thing. So our past sometimes can lead to destruction. In Matthew chapter 6, there's a caution that we're given. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Sometimes we're on a path, on a journey, and we're looking for the wrong things. Be honest with you. Sometimes we're, not that there's anything wrong with searching for treasure. If you want to search for treasure, that's great. If you want to pursue a career, that's great. All those things are fine. But we need to be careful to keep our heart focused on God. And in our walk, as we're walking that path, I would challenge, if your walk is leading away from Christ or doesn't involve Him, you're on the wrong path if you're a believer. Plain and simple. Everything we do should involve Christ. You may not agree with that. I'm going to challenge that belief. Everything we do should involve Christ. If I want to go to school for 4 years and become a doctor, Dr. Sarah, she's going to be a PA, but I like doctor better. That's fine. But I would challenge Sarah that everything you do in the next 4 or 5, 6 years, however long it takes you, God should be in that picture. If at any time that starts leading you away from God, I would challenge you to watch where you're going, because you're probably going down a path to destruction. Right? That's just one example, and you happen to be in the front row, so there you go. But everything we do should involve Christ. Everything we do should be bounced off the Word of God. Everything we do, not some of the things we do. Everything we do.
That's right.
If we don't, and quite honestly, if there's something I'm doing and I'm not bouncing it off the Word of God or with Christ, it's probably because I know I shouldn't be doing it to start with, so I don't want to get it verified. So everything you do should be leading you toward Christ and involve Christ.
Amen.
It should draw me closer. Anything I do that distances me from God is probably not something I should be doing. And that's no matter what it is. It could be big things or little things. If they distance me from God, they're probably not good things. I'll give you a very simple example, personal example. I like to shoot my pistol. Say Tom and I decide we're going to go up and shoot the pistol every Saturday. Fine. Every Saturday we go shoot our pistols, we hang out for an hour. Great. What if one Saturday we can't go and Tom says, hey, let's go Sunday. And I say, okay, what's one Sunday? Probably not a great idea. We all know that. It's a very simple example. But that one Sunday then becomes, oh, maybe the next Sunday is not a big deal. Maybe it's, you know. And you can very easily, subtly get off path. Everything should draw us closer. Anything that distances us or we can put Him on a back burner is not good. Everything I do should make me rely more on Christ. That goes with the harder path, the narrower path, the suffering path. Sometimes we have to work through things, but they should all help me rely more on Christ. If I'm doing it on my own or walking the path on my own, that's probably the wrong path, because I should be walking the path where Christ is there to help me and guide me. Right? All right. In John chapter 1, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's the beginning of John. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." There's a lot in there. Basic deal is, God created everything. Jesus was there. He created us. He knows us. We all know the verses. He formed us and knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb, right? So, keeping that in mind, He created and formed us, knew us. Don't you think He knows the path that He had for us to walk? He planned it out, right? He knew before time, since the beginning, He knew that Tim would be standing on this podium preaching the Word of God this morning. You believe that? God knows, designed me, planned me, has a destiny for me. He has that for each of us. Does it involve all of us standing up here preaching the Word? No. But it involves all of us using the gifts and talents He gave us to walk that path that He has laid out for us. So keeping that in mind, if He created us, knows us, and also promises He will never leave and forsake us, how must it break His heart when He sees us wandering off the path? How much it breaks His heart when He sees us wander off the path, when He sees us looking for treasure on earth instead of in heaven, or when He sees us doing the things that the world dictates instead of the things the Word dictates. How must it break His heart? Kind of like a parent when their child does something that isn't right, how it breaks our heart. Think how much more so it breaks God's heart when we get off the path. And we can get off the path in many ways. You know, the Oak Island guys, they're just on the wrong path, bottom line. They just chose a path, they're going down it, there's no regard to God in the mix. They're probably not even believers, that's up to them. But for us believers, we can get off the path in a couple of different ways. We can, unintentionally, we can just be going along, and the next thing we know, we're distracted or we're just kind of detoured off the path. So sometimes it's unintentional most times. We don't say, "Oh, I'm going to get off the path today and act like a dummy." Usually it's just an unintentional thing. Maybe it's, you know, like going shooting. Maybe I say, "Oh, one time won't hurt." Or maybe it's a ball game or an event. Or like Don, he's down in Philadelphia on a Sunday at 11 for an awards ceremony. So sometimes we unintentionally just get sucked off the path into these things that life throws at us or the world dictates. But sometimes we get off the path on purpose. Sometimes I just choose to do something I know I shouldn't do. Sometimes I just choose to keep an old habit or a bad way or something that I just like doing that I know isn't the path God has for me. So there's a couple ways we can get on and off the path. So we just need to keep that in mind, that as we're going along our walk, we need to do some things that are going to help us to stay on the path and walk that walk that is worthy. So how do I do that? I could sit up here, we could get probably 10 pastors up here, they could give you 10 different things to do. I'm going to give you some things that God laid on my heart over the last month or so that I've been doing to keep myself walking the walk that's worthy. And then you can add to them, subtract from them, add your own. Everybody has their own things they do. But I'm going to share part of this. I had when I have a dream, I always call it the crazy dreams, because to me they're just like, "Oh, this is weird." I'm not a dream interpreter. I don't interpret dreams like Daniel did for the king or any of that. But occasionally I'll have a dream. Mostly I don't dream because I sleep with a CPAP machine on, and when I sleep, I sleep. I'm dead to the world, I don't dream. So when I dream, I pay attention. This particular crazy dream happened maybe a month, month and a half ago. And a lot of times I'll get them before I go on a mission trip or before I have something coming up. And sometimes they'll apply to me for that time. But this crazy dream, about a month, month and a half ago, and I know it's a God dream because I remember them in the morning. This particular dream, I remembered at about 3 o'clock in the morning when God woke me up and he said, get up and write this down. So I got up and I wrote it down, and I went back to sleep, and then he woke me up again, and I wrote a little more down, that kind of thing. God must be a night owl, because he's always up in the middle of the night. You ever notice that? But maybe it's because it's quiet and we don't have all the distractions of life to bombard us, and he knows he can talk to us. But this crazy dream, I'll give you the short version because it's very graphic and very long. Not graphic as in like R-rated or anything, but more than we need for today. So in the dream, I'm kind of a bystander. I'm watching all of this. I'm not in the dream. But in the dream, I see a man walking over here on a path. And then I see two groups of people in the same area, but not together. Clearly not enemies, like they don't have walls between them. But clearly not, I get the sense that they're not really like homies. Like they don't really like each other. They're just kind of doing their own thing. But the man's walking down the path, and he gets attacked by a bear. Bear rips his arm off. Okay? Man staggers into this first building where this first people group is, I'll call them. And this lady looks at him and she's like clearly in shock and has no clue what to do to help this guy. Man's laying there bleeding, lady's standing there looking like, I don't know what to do. She looks up and she looks out a window and she sees these other people and they're looking over. And she kind of like, I need some help here. So they come over. Now there's these two groups of people looking at the man, not knowing what to do. But finally, they get together. They figure out what to do to help the man. They patch him up. And then it shows the man being carried out on a litter with both groups of people helping to get him out. And then the dream cuts back into now both groups of people are together in one place. And they seem to be maybe in prayer. Some of them are teary. Some of them are maybe praying. But they're together. And then the man comes back in, and then there's rejoicing, and everybody's happy. Okay? Now, you can interpret that any way you want. My interpretation of that is simple. The man's on the path. Maybe it was the wrong path. Why did he get attacked by a bear? Maybe because he was on the wrong road. Maybe he was doing something he shouldn't, somewhere he shouldn't have been, off the trail. The attack by the bear, it's an attack of the enemy. You know, the enemy's after us all the time. Now, the Bible says he's like a lion roaring out there waiting to devour us. But in this case, it was a bear. So the man, maybe distracted, maybe on the wrong path, maybe doing something he shouldn't have been doing, gets attacked. The people, each on their own, couldn't do anything. But when they were united for a common purpose to save the man, they could take care of the problem. But on their own, they couldn't do anything. So I think it's a unity thing, because neither one could help him alone, but together they could. And the man couldn't help himself. But when they all got together, they could, and they took care of the problem. So that's a short version of the dream in my very short interpretation. So if we keep that in mind, as we're walking our walk and trying to be worthy of our walk and our destiny, there's a couple things I think we need to do. And one of them has to do with unity. Being together for a common purpose. And I'm not just talking in this room. I'm not just talking families. I'm talking community. I'm talking anywhere we go. We need to be united for a common purpose. I think that helps. Have you ever tried doing something alone? Say exercise or some of these things. When you do it alone, or you're maybe I'm doing my exercise thing, somebody's doing their exercise thing, and we all fail. But sometimes when you get together and exercise, even though you still don't like it, usually you're more successful. I think our Christian walk, I think our walk in the world is the same way. When we're united and trying to do things together, it's easier. In Acts chapter 1, it says, these continued in one accord in prayer, and it goes on from there. Acts 4:32 says, those who believed were of one heart and soul. They had all things in common. So the word is full of encouragement of when the church was operating together, families were supporting each other, unity, together, things in common. The church grew, and I believe people had a better outcome as they walked because they had that support system. So it's big picture. But I wonder, if you think of some of the stories in the Bible or in our lives, if I had that support system, that unity of the body, or unity even in families or in the community, I wonder how some of the stories of my life would have changed. When I got off the path, if I had that unity or that support structure, I wonder if I wouldn't have got so far off the path. Or if I'd have had that support that said, hey, that's probably not something you want to be doing, to bring me back in before I got so far down that road. So I wonder how my story would changed if we had that unity. And I look around the room and I know all of you, so it's easy. I could pick out examples all around where we've supported each other and helped each other. But I guarantee that there are also stories of struggles that we've each had that we haven't helped each other because we didn't know about them. There are things that I deal with that I don't share with people, therefore I deal with them alone. Whereas if we're more truthful and honest and trusting of each other and united, why struggle alone when you have a support system? Unity, trust, all of those things go hand in hand. In my dream, those people didn't even know each other, but they came together for a common purpose. We need to be the same way. We need to support each other, and I wonder how the story could change. I think of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, I think it is. I don't know the rest of the story. They don't tell us the rest. I know he had a brother and a father. But I wonder if when that prodigal son took his money and left, if somebody had gone after him and said, hey, you know, you're being a knucklehead. Why don't you come on back? I wonder how that story could have been different. And there's probably more stories like that. But I think of that one. You know, I have a brother. I wonder if my brother wandered off. Would I just let him wander off and go do his thing? Or would I say, hey, John, what are you thinking? And would that change that story? So that unity and that being together of one purpose is important. We also need to get rid of the old. And we've talked about this. Pastor Don and Pastor Cher, I think, have both preached on this recently. Ephesians 4, verse 21 and 22 says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off your former conduct and put on the new man which was created according to God. John chapter 1. God created in the beginning us. He knew the plans he had. He knows the new man which was created to walk in righteousness and holiness. I think of the concerning former conduct. I could unfortunately give you a laundry list of former conduct I had to put off. But I think of the Marines. I grew up in a non-churched home. Most of you probably know that. I joined the Marines right out of high school. I was a good kid when I left home. Then I became a Marine. I learned how to cuss and drink and smoke and fight and all that crap. I had to put off all of that former junk when I became a believer. And it took years. So you have to, and I'm still doing that. I'm still putting off the former. Every day I find something that I have to put off. That former junk, those old habits, the sinful nature is there. We have to deal with that every day. At least I do. And if you don't think you have to deal with it every day, I would challenge that you probably are missing something that you need to deal with. Because we all have stuff we have to deal with. As long as we're human and on this world and in the world, we're going to have those things we have to deal with. But we need to put off that former stuff. Every day when I go into work, before I get out of my truck and go in the building, I say a prayer. God, help me to be a good witness for you today. Because I know it's very easy for me to fall back into that former stuff. Very easy. So we need to guard ourselves. And wonderfully, at work, this goes to the unity of the body and the unity in having a support system. At work, my boss is a believer and a pastor. We play Pandora on the radio. So I have a great ability to help me put off the former junk because I'm in an environment and atmosphere that's positive. We don't all have that. I am blessed by that. But if I get in a funk or I see the boss in a funk, we can hold each other accountable, which is not always pleasant. Accountability is not a good thing sometimes, but it's a needed thing. So we need to be united, but we also need to put off them old things. And by being united and having support, we can put off the old things, the former things, in an easier way. We need to put those things aside so that we can walk the walk that's worthy, so that we can fulfill our destiny. We can't fully fulfill our destiny if we're drugged down by all that former self stuff. Okay? Everybody still with me? It's a good word. I'm glad I got it for myself. I hope it's for you too. So how do I continue to walk? All right, so we covered that. We also need to be focused on God. Now that sounds silly and ridiculous that I would have to tell you that. Do you know how, and again, this is for me. Do you know how hard it is for me every morning to get up and do my devotions? I have a routine. I'm a routine guy. Task A, B, C, D. But every morning I get off track. So you have to be focused. I get up, I get my shower, I put the coffee on, I have my coffee, I make breakfast, I sit down and read my Bible. Unless the dog has to go out or my wife wakes up or, you know, whatever. There's always something. So we have to remain focused. Anybody ever get tunnel vision? You ever heard of tunnel vision?
No.
Now, there's medical stuff that goes with tunnel vision. Glaucoma. All right, I can see this, but I don't see this. And the opposite of that is macular degeneration. I see this, but I can't see this. Either one's bad. If I got tunnel vision, I'm just focused on that, and I miss all the peripheral stuff that's important, or the vice versa. So as we go along, I want you to think, how is your vision? Because it's important. But in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, it says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I think of Peter when I read that. I think of Peter when he was walking on the water. He was focused on Jesus. As long as he was focused on Jesus, he walked on water. When he lost his focus, he began to sink. But you know what? Peter's the only one who ever walked on water. So maybe he didn't do a great job walking on water, but he did it when he was focused on Christ. So we need to be focused on Christ. But the challenge is, and this is where the vision thing comes in. If I'm so focused on Christ and walking that narrow path that I lose my peripheral vision, now I've lost the unity. Because now I'm walking down here, Alan could have a problem and I don't see it to help him because I'm so focused here. So you've got to balance it out. I don't want to lose the unity or the other things that I need to do and just walk that narrow tunnel vision path. I've got to be united and helping those around me as well. And I also think of Peter and Luke 5, I think it's 5, yeah. Pastor Don had talked about him when they were fishing. And they had come in for the night, brought in their nets, cleaned everything up, and then Jesus says, go do this. And Peter looks at him like, that's not how you go fishing, Lord. I know how to fish. I've been doing this my whole life. But he had to put off the old ideas, the old way of doing things, and he had to do something new. And sometimes our life's like that. We get stuck in these old things, and we don't embrace the new things God has for us. Hebrews 12, chapter 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. So we need to be united. We need to get rid of the old stuff. We need to focus. And if we get all of that right, we got to remember, Jesus is the author and the finisher. So it has to line up with what he has for us to do, with our destiny. We also need to pray and be in the Word. Again, this should not be anything new. But for me, it's that constant reminder. When you're in here, I mean, I picked out Philippians today, because that's where God said the first verse came from. And then as I'm reading Philippians, I'm thinking, I could just preach on Philippians because there's a lot of good stuff in there. Once you get into it, God will just keep revealing and revealing and opening your eyes to new things. I started with one or two verses and I could have, you know, I actually did read the whole thing, but I could have preached on the whole thing, but we'd be here about 3 days. We don't want that. But we need to be in the Word. In Proverbs 3:5-10, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths or make your path straight. How do I know what my path is or how it should be going if I'm not in the Word and in my prayer time to know what God's destiny is for me? I have to be in the Word. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. This goes back to the same thing. Be wise in my own eyes. If I'm the hunter and I get off the path because I'm so smart and get lost, that's on me. I need to be in the Word so that I know what to be doing and how to do it. And it says depart from evil. That goes to putting off them old former things. I need to put that stuff off, get in the Word, be walking the path in unity with my fellow believers. And it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So in those 5 verses, it tells me, he will direct my paths. He will make them straight. If I depart from evil, I'm going to be, it says, health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And if I honor him with my first fruits, he's going to increase. So if you put all of that together with what I've talked so far, I need to be united. I need to get rid of the old. I need to be focused on Christ. I need to be in the Word. If I do those things, my path will be straight. It will not always be easy. He doesn't say it's going to be the easy path. Remember back in the beginning, it said the easy, wide path is the one that leads to destruction. So he's not saying my path is not going to have problems. But if I have problems and I'm doing these other things, I've got people to help me. The Lord's going to help me. He's going to guide me. He's going to keep me straight. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is verse 17 and 18, the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling. Another one of my favorite verses in Ephesians. I should be praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I need to be praying specifically that He would open my eyes and reveal the truth to me, reveal the path I should take, reveal my destiny. All of those things, the more I'm in the Word and in prayer, the more the Spirit is going to reveal those things to me so that I can stay on that path better. And the more all of you are in the Word and He reveals things to you, the more you can guide me back to the path when I do something I shouldn't. So it all kind of works together. We all need to help each other out. And then one last thing that God added kind of last minute. So if it doesn't seem to quite go together, it's God dumped it in there and He said, you need to add this point. When I'm doing all of the other things, we need to remember that our witness matters. While we're walking the path and trying to be worthy of our calling, our witness matters. People are watching. Bottom line, how we walk the path matters. And again, I could give you many examples, but I'll give you one personally from me. I have a brother who lives up in New York. That's where I'm from. And my brother is one of the key figures that led me to the Lord. He found the Lord first, and then he led me to the Lord later. He's my older brother, so of course I look up to him as well. But there was a time in his life where he went through, I'll call it a midlife crisis for lack of a better phrase. But his witness always mattered to me. He was my, this is how you do God book. He was the first one that got me to read the Word. We read it together while I was overseas once. We read the Bible in 6 months together as a challenge. So he was my go-to guy for how to do God. But during this midlife crisis of his, he was having some struggles. He was trying to think, I think, stay close to his three sons and finding ways of doing that. And he decided that it was okay when his son came home that they would have a cigar and drink a beer. And I thought, well, that doesn't seem quite right, but not too bad. But then he started taking a step further, and at one point they were having cookouts in the driveway, drinking beer and smoking cigars, barbecuing in the front of the house as people are going by. He's an elder in his church. Now, I'm not saying don't drink beer or have a cigar, but I'm saying people are watching. And what if someone you're trying to minister to drives by and sees the elder of the church sitting there with a beer in his hand and a cigar? When you're telling me don't do these things and you're doing these things. So sometimes our witness matters. Wrong. All the time our witness matters. So as we're walking the call and being worthy, we need to look at how we're doing it and make sure we're doing it right. If people don't see me walking the walk, it affects them. Remember, our first call in life is to be witnesses to the world and lead people to Jesus. So if I'm walking my call and still doing these little side things that are not worthy, and people see that, that affects my witness. And that one just always stuck in my head. But being a believer, being my brother, and having a relationship with him, we had a talk about that. And it was a good talk. And he stopped drinking beer and smoking cigars in his driveway. Okay. Now, he still has a beer at the ball game with his sons in the living room. Have a beer, I don't care. But don't do it out where people are going to see. And you may not agree with that. That's all right. For me, that's not a witness that I want to share. But that affected me. That could have affected me negatively. That could have turned me off to the whole thing. You hypocrite, right? But it was my brother. I love him. He led me to the Lord. I was able to have some accountability there. And we kind of dealt with that a little bit. If people see me still in my old ways, it affects them. If they see me walking on Sunday and different on Wednesday, it affects them. I need to watch my witness. I could give you many other examples, but I'm not going to. You get the idea. How you walk the walk matters. Which path you walk down matters. Walking down a path and being so focused on your own path that you disregard other people's needs matters. So there's a lot of things as we walk that we need to be aware of. Walking the path and not being in the Word matters. How do you know you're on the right path? Walking the path, not being in prayer matters. How are you going to hear from God if you're not in the Word and not in prayer? But what matters most is that you walk the path and you are a witness and you are witnessing and ministering to others along the path. Because if you're just walking the path so that you get to the other end, who cares? God says, witness and bring the whole world to me. So as you walk the path, try and walk that narrow path, but don't get so focused on the path that you miss what's going on around you. So there's a lot going on with walking a worthy walk in there. A lot to wrap your head around. All of it seems simple one at a time, but when you put it all together, there's a lot of moving parts here. Thing to remember, there's wisdom in the Word, there's revelation to be had through prayer, and there's power in my witness. Remember, God has not changed. If I'm off the path, or not doing it right, or having struggles that I can't deal with alone, remember, God has not forsaken me. Usually if I'm off the path, it's because I chose to and I'm forsaking God. God is always there. God is always going to be faithful. God knows the plans He has for me. And the plans He has for me is not to let me wander off this dead-end path. He knows the path He has. He knows the people I'm going to impact along the path. I don't want to get to the end of the path and have God say, hey, you know, you missed Joe over there. He was off the path, but you were so focused on yourself, you missed him. I don't want to get to the end and have God say, hey, well done, except. Right? We want to get to the path and be walking that path that God has for us. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, be strong and good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave or forsake you. And in Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. As I close, the worship team can come back up. I think I might have shared a little bit of this, maybe one other time I preached, but I'm just going to share a little example. I read a book a while back. I forget the name of it. I'm lousy with names of books. But the point was, there's a man walking through the wilderness, no food, no water, struggling the whole time down this trail. Stayed on the main trail, didn't wander off the trail. Stayed on the trail. He knew this is the trail. I got to go through it. Man's alone. No food, no water. Darn near dead when he gets to the end of the trail. But he makes it. Gets the end of the trail. There's water. He's refreshed. It's the living water. I believe an angel's there. Angel says, "Well done, but why didn't you ask for help along the way? That would have been a lot easier." Man says, "I didn't know. I just knew, you know." He had tunnel vision. He knew he had to get to the end, but he didn't look around to see what helps there were for him. He did it alone. He made it, but it was a lot harder than it needed to be. We don't have to do it alone. God is there as we walk the path. Other people are there as we walk the path. And then in the book, the man is now tasked with going down the path again and leading another group through. But this time he has more knowledge and more wisdom. As he's leading the group, they find springs of water. They find ways of making the journey easier together. And he leads the second group down the path together. And it's a much easier journey. They face attacks together. They find water and food together. They find comfort in each other. They learn to trust each other as they walk the path. So we can walk the path any way we want. We can walk it alone. And we might make it, but we'll have a harder time. Or we can walk it together with God, with each other, in unity, in that bond of trust and being together. So I don't know where you are on the path this morning. I know for me, every day is a challenge. Every day is a different struggle, a different thing to have to deal with. But if you need prayer, we can do individual prayer, but I want to pray for us as a whole today as I step down. But then if you need individual prayer, you can come forward. Pastor Sherry's here. I'm here. Chris is here. So I just want to pray as the team plays. And then if you need that other prayer, come forward. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do it alone. I thank you, Lord, for your Son. I thank you that he came to this world to show us how to do it. I thank you, Lord, for your word that guides us. I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit who dwells inside us as believers. I thank you, Lord, for this body and for the unity we have as a body. But Lord, I know each of us is on a path that's a little different. Each of us, sometimes we feel like we're on the edge of a cliff, going to fall off. Sometimes we probably feel like we're on this nice, easy road, and we wonder when the sky is going to fall on us. Lord, wherever each of us is on that path, Lord, I pray that you would just touch that person, that you would guide them, direct them, give them wisdom, open their eyes, Lord, to see what you have for them, to see their destiny as they walk the path. Give them whatever they need, Lord, as they journey along the path. And we thank you, Lord, again for that perfect example. We thank you for your Son and that ministry he had on this world to show us how to do it. Lord, I ask that if there is anyone, Lord, that needs prayer individually, they have something specific that they need to deal with, they need help with. Help them to just come forward and trust you, Lord, and you're going to provide the answer for that. Because even if they feel alone, your word tells us we are never alone. You have never and will never forsake us. So I thank you, Lord, for just being with us today. Amen.